Welcome to the Every Nation Rosebank Church podcast. At our church, we honor God, make disciples, and transform nations. For more information about our church, visit everynationrosebank.org and don't forget to subscribe.
It is finished. Words that when spoke by us mean done, but when spoke by God mean life's begun. It's finished. Brought the perfect plan when Jesus' death meant breath for man. It's finished does not mean over. The veil tore, the gates unlocked, and Satan's hold on us was lost. The boulder rolled, the body gone, now all behold the risen Son. The King has come. His kingdom brings eternal freedom to those who believe one when he won. Not because of what we've done, no, but because of what he's done. The King. The King of all kings, he can't be replaced. The beginning, the end, he can't be erased. The Lion of Judah, he is mighty to save. He can't be defeated, not even by graves. The land gave his life, he still didn't lose. They bore holes in his hands and he used them as proof. Every stripe was another life healed by his wounds. When he died on the cross, he did it for you. On the day that he raised, he did it for you. Holy Spirit was given, he did it for you. He claimed victory and he did it for you. So today, let the way that we live say, God, this is for you. It is finished. It is perfect. We are whole and complete. The war has been won. All praise to the King.
Amen. Amen. It is finished. Amen. Tetelestai. It is finished. So good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. I've got some good news for you. Friday is good because Sunday is coming. Friday is good because Sunday is coming. People wonder, why are you celebrating when your Savior Jesus died on the cross on this day? And why are you dancing like Pastor Lireko when your Savior has died? We dance because we know Sunday is coming. Resurrection is coming. Jesus, our Savior and Lord, has died, but he rose again. Unlike other gods, they died, they are not alive. But our Jesus sits on the throne. Amen. It is a family service today. We have kids in the house. So I'm preaching with Ruver, who's going to read the word with us. Please follow the word because we have a lengthier text of scripture. And the Bible says, devote yourself to the public reading of the word. So please, let's devote ourselves this morning.
But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, he entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. For if the blood of the goats and bulls and the sprinkling of the defiled persons with the ashes of the heifer sanctify for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Therefore, he is the mediator of a new covenant, so not those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, since a death has occurred that redeems them from transgressions committed under the first covenant. For where a will is involved, the death of the one who made it must be established. For a will takes effect only at death, since it is not in force as long as the one who made it is still alive. Therefore, not even the first covenant was inaugurated without blood. For when every commandment of the law had been declared by Moses to all people, he took the blood of calves and goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book itself and all the people, saying, this is blood of the covenant that God commanded for you. And in the same way, he sprinkled with blood both the tent and all the vessels used in worship. Indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood, And without the shedding of the blood, there is no forgiveness in sins.
This is the word of the Lord. Thank you, Ruva. You can go and sit. So friends, from the text we've read, there's a few things that I want us to look at and to address. But I want to start here first. I want to start here. All eyes on Jesus. During the Passover, we're saying all eyes on Jesus because there is power in the blood. I don't know if you noticed as we were singing this morning, we were putting emphasis on the blood of Jesus Christ. There's a song that goes like this, "Oh, the blood of Jesus, it reaches higher than the mountains. It flows deeper than the valleys. Oh, the blood that gives me strength from day to day." So can you repeat with me, all eyes on Jesus?
All eyes on Jesus.
All eyes on Jesus.
All eyes on Jesus.
Because there's power in the blood. And you may ask the question, why did Jesus have to die? The answer is in the blood. The answer is in the blood. So when we talk about the blood of Jesus this morning, we have communion elements here. And later on, we're going to take communion. And I pray that we will see that every time we approach communion table, there is the presence of God right there with us. I don't know if you've noticed that every time we approach communion, there's something that happens. Maybe you've never thought about it, but you are actually invoking the blood of Jesus who died for us on the cross and who said, "It is finished." So every time you take communion, you say, "It was taken care of on the cross. It was taken care of on the cross. No matter what I'm facing today, it is taken care of on the cross." Whether it's sickness, whether it's disease, whether it's financial challenges, whether it's marriage challenges, I'm here to say to you, it is finished. It is taken care of. It is taken care of on the cross. Some people say the blood of Jesus has run its course. I'm here to say you're wrong. The blood of Jesus has not run its course. It still saves today. The blood of Jesus still heals today. The blood of Jesus is still at work today. So let's look at this blood of Jesus. We're looking at what Jesus did for us on the cross. From this text that we've read this morning, we are saying all eyes on Jesus. We are looking at the author and perfecter of our faith. The Bible says Jesus is the superior and perfect priest. He's superior because unlike the priest in the Old Testament who had to every year, once a year, they would have to slaughter the animals, lambs, goats, bulls in order to go into the Holy of Holies. Remember what happened when Jesus died on the cross. When he said, "It is finished," the Bible says the veil, the tent curtain that separated the Holy of Holies and the holy place was destroyed. The tent curtain that prevented us from going into the Holy of Holies was destroyed because Jesus, the superior and perfect priest, entered once and for all. He entered once and for all. He doesn't have to go over and over and over again. The Bible says, but when Christ appeared, the high priest of the good things that have come, then the greater and more perfect tent, Jesus, is a greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is of this creation, not this creation. He entered once and for all into the holy place, not by means of blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood. That's securing for us an eternal redemption. Let's just pause there for a little bit. When Jesus was nailed on the cross, some thought that they secured him on the cross, but he was securing for us an eternal redemption. He was securing for us a redemption and a freedom that we celebrate today. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that we can become the righteousness of God. God made Jesus to be sin for us so that we can become the righteousness of God. I like the fact that Pastor Lereko touched on his testimony. It simply says that we will not be here if Jesus did not die on the cross. We will not be here if Jesus was not nailed on the cross. By the way, I've said this before. I said to people that if I was God, so many people will be dead, including myself. Because if I look at it just the way people are, the way mankind are, the way we sin on a daily basis, God could have annihilated us. But God looks at us through the cross. Through the eyes of the cross, He looks at us and He remembers that Jesus was made sin for us. He who had never tasted sin, he who had never knew what sin is, he died on the cross. The superior and the perfect priest entered once and for all. He entered for all of us. So you don't need to bring your own bull. You don't need to bring your own calf. You don't need to bring your own lamb to the cross or to the house of worship. Can I say that it's unfortunate that in the days we're living in, you still have people who are sacrificing animals. I'm here to tell them that Jesus was the final sacrifice. He was the final sacrifice. There is no other sacrifice except the better sacrifice that is Jesus Christ. Just the church down the road in Fort Lauderdale, they're still reading the Old Testament and encouraging people to bring lambs for sacrifices. And I'm saying today, Jesus is the final sacrifice. There's no need for sacrifice anymore. There's no need. He took care of it on the cross. Can we all say all eyes on Jesus? All eyes on Jesus. Because He is the final sacrifice. He died for you and I. I will not be where I am if it wasn't for His sacrifice. If it wasn't for Him dying on the cross. Jesus' blood has got power to save. Jesus' blood has got power to heal. If you think the blood has run its course, you're wrong. The blood of Jesus still has power. The Bible says, for if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of defiled persons, people who have sinned, with ashes and heifer, sanctified for purification of the flesh. It means the blood of animals only purifies externally of the flesh. How much more will the blood of Jesus Christ? How much more will the blood of Christ, who through eternal spirit, the Spirit of God, offered Himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? When I read the scripture, the Bible says the blood of animals only purifies externally, but the blood of Jesus purifies internally, externally. It takes care of everything. The blood of Jesus is able to go to where the blood of animals cannot get to. The blood of Jesus is able to cleanse my conscience, even the sins that you don't see that I might have committed in my mind. The blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus can wipe away every sin. The blood of Jesus. Maybe you're here, you've been condemned, and you say, I've committed sin in my conscience. My conscience is not free before God. I'm here to say the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus cleanses and washes every sin. Do not walk out of here with that condemnation. Bring it to Jesus. When you take communion today, you say, I'm done with the sin. I'm done with the sin. I'm done because it was taken care of on the cross. Why should I still carry something that was taken care of on the cross? I like yesterday at the contemplative service, Pastor Greg shared so well with us. You can get it on podcast. He shared from Psalm how the Bible says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has it taken our sins from us. So far has it taken our sins from us. And Pastor Greg challenged us with his revelation. Why did God use the east and the west and not the north and the south? Let me ask you a question. Can you ever get to the east and say, I've arrived now, I'm at the east? Okay, let me ask it differently. We know we've got the North Pole and the South Pole, right? You can get to the North Pole and you can get to the South Pole. Have you ever read all the geography fundies out there about the East Pole and the West Pole? So it means that when God says, so far has He removed our sins from us as the east is from the west, if you go and try and find your sins, they are gone. They are gone. They are gone. He's taken them away completely. He's taken them away completely. Why should I carry something that's been taken care of on the cross by the blood of Jesus? Can we all say, all eyes on Jesus?
All eyes on Jesus.
All eyes on Jesus. When we fix our gaze on Jesus, the things of this world will grow strangely dim. The things of this world will grow strangely dim when we fix our gaze on Jesus. Can we all say, all eyes on Jesus? Because of the blood. Because of the blood. The Bible says Jesus' power, His blood, it takes us now into the Old Testament to give you an understanding why Jesus had to die. If you studied the book of Leviticus, we studied it last year, you'd remember we came to a point where the scripture says the blood carries the life of every creature. The blood carries the life of a creature, meaning that if you were to take my blood, I'm dead. The blood is important for life to happen. So it means that there is life in the blood. So we needed to have the blood of Jesus, the life of Jesus poured out so that our sins can be atoned for. Atonement is at one with Jesus, at one meant atonement. At one meant with Jesus, meaning when Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ, I no longer live. The life that I live now, I live by faith in Christ Jesus who died for me on the cross. So it means that on the cross, that at one moment with Jesus means that His blood was shed, His life was shed for me to have freedom. When the Israelites were moving from Egypt to the promised land, they were moving from slavery to their freedom. The Bible tells us that this is what they were supposed to do. Moses was instructed by God that your lamb shall be without blemish. We just read now in Hebrews that Jesus is a lamb without blemish. So whatever you see in the Old Testament was a foreshadow of what is to come in the New Testament. So he says the lamb must be without blemish, no sin. A male, a year old, you may take it from the sheep, from your goats, or your goats. Then they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the houses in which they eat. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where I am or where you are. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. No plague shall befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. Now, because this is a family service and we have children, I'll be a little bit animated. Just follow me. Let's assume that this is a door. Are we together? Not a perfect door, but it can work for today. The Bible says when they were to leave from slavery to freedom, they had to, God is saying the angel of death is coming to kill the children of Egypt because they did not allow the Israelites to go to their freedom. So for you to be protected, for you to be saved, you need to take the blood of the lamb, dip it with hyssop, and then you must put it on the sides of the door, on the sides of the door and on the lintels of the door. What is this picture that we are seeing here? On the sides of the door, on the lintels of the picture. What are we seeing here? It's the cross. So I'm here to say to you, when the Israelites left slavery in Egypt to the promised land, God says to them, Jesus was right there. The blood was there. The blood was there. Jesus was there with them. Look at this word. This is where we get our word Passover. When the angel comes and sees the blood, he will pass over you. He will pass over you. I don't know if you know this. When you take communion, you are declaring that death will pass over us. Death will pass over us. Death will pass over us. Unless the Lord allows it, it will pass over us because of the blood. Sickness, diseases, go to communion, take communion and say, God, you promised it will pass over us. We're just invoking the blood of Jesus. I want to challenge you this morning that may we change how we approach communion table. May we not do it just as a tick box. May we realize that the blood of Jesus has power. Every time we approach communion table, whether you do it at home with your connect groups, whether you do it at work, wherever you may be, you are calling on the blood of Jesus. Can we all say all eyes on Jesus? I pray that even not only for Passover, but as we finish Passover in the days that are coming, we can say, all eyes on Jesus because of the blood. Jesus came to be a bridge builder between us and God. Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. He came to mediate a new covenant. We read that there was an old covenant and a new covenant. The Bible says, therefore, he's the mediator of the new covenant. New Testament will, New Testament covenant, covenant will are the same words. Covenant and will are the same words. Now we continue to read. So that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance. So we who are called through the blood of Jesus may receive the promised eternal inheritance. Since a death has occurred that redeems them from the transgressions committed under the first covenant. The first covenant was with the blood of the lambs and the goats and the bulls. For where the will is involved, the death of the one who made it must be established. For a will takes effect only at death, since it is not in force as long as the one who made it is alive. So I want to explain this portion of scripture with two stories. Because it's a family service, please allow me to share stories. And hopefully you will follow. I know the kids will like these stories. To explain what the scripture says, that we have an inheritance in Christ. We have an eternal inheritance in Christ. And it also says that the death of the one who made it must be established before you can have that inheritance. So it was in 2020 when we were just coming out of lockdown. You remember how hectic it was to be under lockdown, especially the hard lockdown, COVID season. We were just allowed to go out in the parks, to go out and be allowed to be out on the streets. And my wife and I decided one morning we're going to go for a walk, and the kids were still sleeping, and we decided we'll just go without leaving a note or without telling them, thinking that we will find them still asleep. Little did we know that our youngest, who normally wakes up quite early, she would wake up while we were gone. And as soon as she woke up, she went to her bedroom, realized we were not there, looked around the house, realized we were not there, and she started thinking, they're gone. They're gone. They're gone. They're gone. Now, there was context, because we had just been talking about the will and the importance of them knowing where the will is, because it's COVID season, anything might happen to mom or dad, we might also go at the same time. You know, if you had that terrible COVID, you know what I'm talking about. You look at the will, you clean the house, you know, you make sure everything is safe. You know, it was that hectic, it was that bad. So we just thought, let's just prepare them. For, you know, if God, in his sovereignty, he may decide to take us at the same time. So the young one thought, they're gone. They're gone. And decided to go wake the two older ones. And she says to them, guys, I can't find mom and dad. They're gone. And remember what they said. If anything happens to us, go find the will. Go find the will. She says, I know where the will is. They looked in the house. And by the way, because she's so good with technology, she's the IT support of the house. She's the IT support. She says, if we can't find it, I know dad's password on his computer. We'll get into dad's. This sounds like hacking for me. We'll get into dad's computer. We'll find the will, people. It's a crisis. I'm thinking to myself, why not call the police? You know, like, we come back home. We find panic mode. They've got the will. Man, I'm glad I found this scripture because I could read for her. the death of the one who made it must be established first. Before you go for the will, establish that they're dead. So we were able to give some education that you establish the death first before you open the will. But I like what their mother said to them, especially to the two older ones. You know, if anything happens to mom and dad, the little one will take care of you. Now, that will is for the things of this world that vanishes. But Jesus has secured for us an eternal inheritance. An eternal inheritance. An eternal inheritance. An eternal inheritance. I remind myself daily that this world will pass. We have an eternal inheritance in Jesus through the blood. Because his death was established. We have the will. We have the will. The will is right here. Every time I read the will, I'm reminded of the eternal inheritance. I'm reminded of the promises of God. We have the will. Amen. I was just helping the parents who are here to teach your children death must be established first. The second story that I thought I should share with you is a wealthy man who had mansions, who had cars, who had businesses. He had only one child, a boy, and had a wife. And again, talking about the will, he had prepared his will, and then unfortunately his son died first. And then his wife died, and he was the only one who was left. And it was so painful that you could see he was started deteriorating because his son and wife and basically the people that he was his life, his community was gone, and he just decided to have a painting made of his son and his wife. And he had one painting that was very special to him, a painting of his son. And he wrote the will and he left the will. A few years later, he died. And on the day of his death, they called the executor who read the will. After reading the will, says, I need an auctioner, because the will says we need to auction everything out in this house. So we need to invite people to come for the auction. They invited people to come for the auction. Even the people who worked at the house, including the gardener, they were there observing what was happening. And then the auctioner started and said, here's a painting of the son. Who is bidding for this painting? People were not interested. He asked, who's bidding for this? First time, no one interested. He asked for the second time, who's bidding? No one interested. He asked for the third time, who's bidding? The gardener standing there at the back raised his hand and says, I'm going to bid for this painting. $100. Just 100 rands. Because notice no one was interested. And then as he asked, the auctioneer asked, is there anyone else who's going to bid? We've got a bidder for 100 rands. Anyone interested? No one was interested. And then he says, this auction is closed. The guy who now has the painting of the son gets everything. The guy who gets the painting of the son gets everything. Let me read for you what was written in that will. It was written, and listen to this carefully. It is so interesting what the father said. He said, he who gets the son gets everything. He who gets the son gets everything. So I'm here to tell you that the gardener walked away financially free, because the Bible says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. The Bible says, he who has the Son has life. If you get the Son, you get everything. You get everything. You get everything. You get everything. This is the Jesus we are saying, all eyes on him. If you get him, if you get him, he's priceless. He's priceless. No blood, no forgiveness. The scripture clearly teaches us that no blood, no forgiveness. It says that for every commandment of the law had been declared by Moses, again, back in the Old Testament when the law was given to all the people. He took the blood of calves and goats with water and scarlet and wool and hyssop and sprinkled both to the book, the law, and to the people. Aren't you happy that you live in the New Testament? Yeah. Imagine in the Old Testament, you get sprinkled with blood. You know, imagine you go to church. You don't even know where the blood comes from. You get sprinkled with blood. I'm grateful I live in the New Testament. They were sprinkled with blood of goats and elk. But what amazes me, again, a foreshadow in the Old Testament of the New Testament, it says scarlet wool, water, and hyssop. So they will dip the hyssop, and they will pull out the hyssop, and they will sprinkle the people and the book. Do you remember that when Jesus died, go read John 19, the Bible says when he said, I thirst, what did they do? They took hyssop with a sponge and dipped it in the wine, sour wine, and gave it to Jesus. So that hyssop that we see, which was meant for medicinal purposes, it was also meant for washing and cleansing. You know, scripture says, wash me with hyssop so I may be clean. So when Jesus, they didn't know that they were fulfilling scripture when they took the hyssop and fed Jesus, gave Jesus to drink, that actually what they were saying is, Jesus is cleansing all our sins. He's cleansing all our sins. He's taking care of it all. And it was after he drank, he said, Tetelestai, it is finished. It is finished. So no blood, no forgiveness. Without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. I'm here to say, all eyes on Jesus. Can we all say, all eyes on Jesus? As we begin to close, we have the second reading. We won't read for the sake of time. I'll just paraphrase it for you. When you continue to read Hebrews 9 that we've read, it says that it was necessary for the copies of the heavenly things, where Jesus is the lamb that was slain before the foundations of the lamb, before the foundations of the world. It says the heavenly things were to be purified with his rites, but the heavenly things themselves with the better sacrifices than the sacrifices we see on earth. For Christ has entered not only into the holy places made with hands, meaning in the temple, which are copies of the true things which are to come. I want to bring your attention to verse 25. No, it was to offer himself repeatedly, like those priests who went in repeatedly into the Holy of Holies. The high priest enters the holy place every year with blood, not his own. Wow. For then he would have had to suffer repeatedly since the foundations of the world. Let me pause there. When the Bible says Jesus would have to suffer repeatedly since the foundations of the earth, when you read Revelation 13, it says Jesus is a lamb that was slain before the foundations of the earth. So it means that God knew that devil would fall, would run away from heaven, and he will cause the havoc he's causing here on earth. And God already had a plan. And the Bible scholars had been arguing for years and say, how was the lamb slain before the foundations of the earth? And I'm here to tell you that the lamb that was slain before the foundations of the earth was slain in the heart of God. Jesus was sacrificed in the heart of God, because God is never taken by surprise. He was not taken by surprise. When the devil brought sin on earth, go and read the book of Job. Jesus, God himself, was not taken by surprise. Therefore, the Bible says he would not have to enter repeatedly since the foundations of the world. But as it is, he has appeared once and for all for us. So that as it was declared for men to die once, and after that comes judgment. So Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear the second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. Are you eagerly waiting for him? Are you eagerly waiting for him? Jesus Christ is coming the second time to take us, those who are eagerly waiting for him. The Bible says Jesus is the lamb that was slain before the foundations of the earth. So we've looked at this. Jesus is the superior and the greater priest. He's the perfect priest. He's the best. Jesus' blood has power, the power that saves, that heals. Jesus' blood helps us to understand him as the mediator of the new covenant. No blood, no forgiveness. Jesus, the lamb that was slain before the foundations of the earth. As I said over and over again, if you think the blood has lost its power, you're wrong. The blood still forgives, still purifies, it still heals. And I share one more story, then we'll wrap it up. You know, when you read scripture, you should always ask yourself, why are these things written? Why is it written that Jesus is a lamb that was slain before the foundations of the earth? It is written there again for us to know that God is never surprised. God is never surprised. I read a story, true story, of people who visited the Louvre in France, Paris. Let me see, anyone has visited the Louvre here? All right, I see those hands. Thank you so much, we appreciate. Because we also would like to go. I said in the first service that by God's grace, we will visit sometime. The Louvre is where they have all these expensive paintings and, very historical paintings. If you watch movies, you've seen the Louvre. Like me, I've only seen it in movies. They have this painting that I want to show you. On the right side, my right side, your left, you see a picture of someone who's the devil and a person who's playing chess with the devil, and you have an angel. And then they call this painting Checkmate. And now, as I was reading the story, looking at this painting, I was taken aback when they told on the story that they took a group of athletes, world champions athletes, to go and view the different pictures at the Louvre. And as they were, the tour guide took them from one picture to another, the tour guide explained that this picture, yes, someone who is losing the battle to the devil, to Satan. And then they moved on. They just left it there. But there was one person who stayed behind, did not go with a group, kept looking at this painting. And as he was looking at this painting, the tour guide realized that they're missing one person. They need to go and get this person. He comes back and he says, I noticed that you are not following with us. Why are you still standing here? And the guy said, you see, I am a world champion chess player. So as a world champion chess player, I look at this board and I'm realizing that either the painting must be taken down or you must change the title of the painting because it's not Checkmate. The guy who's the tour guide says, why do you say that? Why do you say that there's something wrong here? We must take the painting down. He says, you forgot. I am the world champion chess player. I see things that other people don't see because I'm the world champion chess player. The tour guide says, okay, what are you see? Tell me, what is it that you see? The guy repeats again, I'm the world champion chess player. You don't get the point. I want you to get the point. He says, when I look at this board, the king still has one final move. The king still has one final move. And he looked at the tour guide and he said, until the king say it's final, it is not final. Until Jesus say it's final, it is not final. Until Jesus say it is finished with your life, it is not finished. Only he has the authority to say it is finished. Only he has the authority to say it is final. I don't know what you may be facing, but I want you with this Passover to know that Jesus' blood never fails. Jesus' blood never fails. Jesus' blood never fails until Jesus says it's finished in the fullness of time. In the fullness of time, God saw it fit to send his son, Jesus Christ. In the fullness of time. The Bible says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of Father. 1 Corinthians 1:18, the Bible says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved is the power of God. Let's bow our heads to pray. Father, I thank you that as we get ready to approach the communion table, we remember Jesus. We put our gaze on Jesus. We say, all eyes on Jesus. Lord, there may be people here who are far away from you. I pray that they will come nigh, they will come close to you, Father, because of the blood. They will know that the blood of Jesus has got power to save, has got power to heal, has got power to cleanse, has got power to purify. Father, I pray for each and every person who's here to know that the new covenant speaks of the better blood. The new covenant speaks of a better covenant and a better testament and a better will that has gained for us an eternal inheritance in Jesus Christ. While our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, for those who are far away from Christ, I would like you to pray this prayer with me. The congregation will join us as we pray this prayer, but pray this prayer to God if you know you're far away from Christ. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we come before you. We accept you as Lord and Savior of our lives. From today, we will live for you. In Jesus' name.